Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Gimel. We will begin on Daf Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, the last words, Toshima. We're in the middle of a sugya discussing Tzar Baal Chaim. Is Tzar Baal Chaim the Rais or the Rabbonim? Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says Roivitz. The Pasuk discusses Kisira Chamor Sanecha Roivitz Tachas Masoi. Teaches us the Pasuk that an animal that's a Roivitz V'loi Raftson. V'loi Raftson means an animal that doesn't have the habit of constantly collapsing. So I saw that the Yerushalmi asks, we learned in the Mishnah, we learned in the Gemara, that the chiyuv of helping the animal is a filim arva v'chamesh pamer, 4 or 5 times, 100 times. So what does the Gemara mean here if it's not a Raftson? So Yerushalmi answers, there's a difference between an animal that collapses many times versus an animal that has the habit of collapsing. Al Gemara is not talking about an animal that happened to collapse many times. An animal that happens to collapse many times, we have to keep on helping. Here, if it's an animal that has this habit, so that is different. The Rishoner says a beautiful word. He says, Al Gemara is teaching us there's a difference when there's a nun at the end of the word versus when there isn't a nun at the end of the word. Roivitz means that the animal happened to collapse. Raftza means that it has a habit to collapse. He says, if we look into the tefillas of the Yom Meroim, we speak about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it says, Katasochon Yisrael, Umachlon L'shifte Yishurin. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is not called a Seleach or a Meichel, he's called a Solchon. He's called a Molchon. What's the difference? It's not just that a Kodesh Baruch Hu forgives our Averis, but we're saying so much more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a solchan and a molchan. It's his habit. That's the midas harachmim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he always wants to be saleich and moichel ar aveiris. Roivitz, v'loi oimit tachas masoi. As Mefarshim explained, what this means is, v'loi oimit, what it means is as follows. That let's say we see the animal is stopping, it's about to collapse, but it hasn't yet collapsed, then the din of azav tazav doesn't apply yet. Tachas masoi, v'loi mefurik. Which means, first glance, and the Gemara will talk about it in a moment, that if the animal is not carrying the load, and all that's involved is putting on the load, we're not obligated, which is hard, because we know that we have that obligation. Tachas masoi, continues the Braisa, only masoi sheyachol amid boy. Only if it was loaded with a load that it could carry. Ask the Gemara, the amid, if we're going to suggest that Tzar Baal Chaim Deraisa, Mali Roivitz or Mali Raftson. What's the difference? If it has the habit, it doesn't have the habit. Nebuch, this animal is collapsing. Tzar Baal Chaim. And similarly, Mali Oimid. If it's about to collapse, it has collapsed, we have to worry about this animal. Answers Gemara, Hamani, who is the town of this Braisa? Rabbi Yosef Glilihi. It's following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glilihi. Domer, who, as we learned in the previous year, is of the opinion that Tzar Baal Chaim Drabonim. That the Tzar Baal Chaim is only the Rabbonim. And says the Gemara, Hochanan Nistabra. It makes sense to explain that this Braisa follows Rabbi Yosef Glilihi's opinion. The Tani, Tachas Masri. What does the Braisa say? That's only Masri Sheyoch Lamed Boy. Only if you loaded the animal with a load that it could carry. Now ask the Gemara. Man Shamatle, who is the Tana, this Lehi Svara, that follows this Din? As we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, Rabbi Yosef Glilihi. So we clearly see that this price is following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glilihi, and therefore that isn't the proof to what the opinion of the Chacham will be regarding Tzar Baal Chaim. Ask the Gemara. How can we explain that this price is following Rabbi Yosef Glilihi's opinion? Doktani safe, let's continue learning the price. Tachas masoi v'loi mefurik. And as we said, very difficult to learn to understand. Ma'loi mefurik. What does it mean that you don't have to load the animal? Ilayim aloy mefor a cloud that you have no obligation to help load the animal, that can't be. Haksiv, as we have been discussing, the Torah says, Hakim tiakim imay, that you have to load the animal. El pshita, how must we understand the Braisa? The Braisa is saying that even though when it comes to unload the animal, a person has to do it even without getting any compensation. But when it comes to load the animal, loy mechfor bechinam, you don't have to do it for free, el beschar. For that, you're entitled to compensation. Now, says the Gemara, man shamed like this, lehi svara, who's the Tana that makes a distinction between unloading the animal that we're not entitled to pay, and loading the animal that we are entitled to pay, Rabbanan. So isn't this price a clearly following the opinion of the Rabbanan? So that's not a proof. Because we could continue saying that this price follows the opinion of Glili. Or Bettina, even though they disagree regarding unloading the animal, where Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that Tzar Bal Chaim is the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan may hold it's the Raisa, but Tiina, when it comes to loading the animal, there's no machlokes there. They all agree that even though it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, since it doesn't involve Tzar Bal Chaim, you're entitled to get paid. So here we end the sugya of Tzar Bal Chaim. And even though Al Gemara has not conclusively proven what is the din of Tzar Bal Chaim, the halacha is that Tzar Bal Chaim is the d'oraisa. It's also interesting to note there's a tshuva from the Noida Yehuda where he was asked, is a Jew allowed to go hunting? Is a Jew allowed to go hunting? So he says, even though technically he's not violating Tzar Bal Chaim, because if he's hunting for the animal, certainly if it's an animal that he's going to hunt in a way that he can continue eating it, or even if he can't eat the animal because it becomes a trefa, or it's a non-kosher animal, he could take the skin of the animal. So technically he has not violated Tzar Bal Chaim. He still says a number of things. He says there's three reasons to avoid hunting. One reason is, it's not the best way to spend your time. You could do better things with your time. Number two, he says, it's still not nice. It's not something that a Jew should do, hunt animals. And thirdly, he says, hunting can be dangerous. And certainly we have a din of nishmat, moedle nafsh seichem, not to put ourselves into danger. Tonabon. The pasuk says, kisira chamor sanecha, yochal afilu merochek. So I would think that even if I'm not next to the animal, I see the animal from a distance, I have the chiva prikotina, tamalim kisifka, when you're right there. Kisifka, ikisifka, if I would follow that pasuk, yochal pigi mamish. I have to be right next to the animal. Tamalimer kisira. So it's not that close, not that far. It's one of 7.5 mil, the Zoris, which is 2,000 amma. So here we see, the Gemara clearly teaches us, as far as the din of prika and teina, it only applies if you're within 2,000 ammas of the animal. Machloikis ha'achroinim, what's the din regarding Tzar Bal Chaim? Does Tzar Bal Chaim have the same shear of 2,000 amma? Or does Tzar Bal Chaim, as soon as you see the animal suffering, you have a chiyuv to worry and try to help the animal? Another interesting point. Here we see that because the Torah uses the words kisifka, that's why you have to be close. But where the Torah doesn't use the words kisifka, or where the halacha doesn't use those words, you don't have to be actually close. Where does the shaila come up? Shaila comes up that we know there's halacha that you have to make bracha when you see the ocean, the Yamagodl. So the question is, let's say you're driving along the highway and you could see the ocean, but you don't see it up close. Do you make the bracha? And the shaila that chooses B'tzela Chachma says you make the bracha. Another thing that he says, very interesting halacha l'maisa, is as follows. The halacha is that if somebody goes to a cemetery and he hasn't been in a cemetery for 30 days, he has to make a bracha, a shiatzer aschem b'din, that you have to make that bracha. But that bracha only is said if you haven't been in a cemetery for 30 days. So he says, in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, there are a lot of places in Yerushalayim that you could see Har Menuchas, you could see the cemetery from your apartment. So let's say you live in such an apartment where you could see the cemetery. And now, Rachman Tzlan, you have to come to the cemetery. It's considered that you saw the cemetery, and when you come to the cemetery, you shouldn't make that special bracha, because you saw the cemetery within 30 days. Because for a bracha, it doesn't have to be that you're right there. Seeing it is considered that you're there. It says the Gemara Tana, Umedadi ima ad parsa. You're allowed to walk with the animal. You're supposed to walk after you put on the load. You're supposed to walk with it. And you could take payment for it. So the machlokes rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Rashi understands the Gemara, and this is what the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, is like this. You helped load the animal. Now you should walk along with the animal for another mil. Why? Because there's a real concern that maybe you didn't load the animal well. and it's not going to be comfortable for the animal. So even though now it's a concern of tsar, and for tsar you're typically not allowed to get paid, here you're allowed to get paid. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Taisus explains the Gemara differently. Taisus explains that the Gemara is referring to situation that you took off a load from the animal, and now, since the animal's still wobbly, you should walk along. And even though for prika you're not allowed to get paid, for walking along, you're allowed to get paid. It's very interesting. I saw that we know in many yeshivas, the minig is that the first perek of Gemara that they learn with yeshiva talmidim is our perek that we're just about to finish, perek Eilu Metzius. But there was a minig that in certain communities, not to begin the perek from the beginning of the perek, but actually to begin learning from this Mishnah. And as we learn the Mishnah, we'll appreciate why. Says the Mishnah, Avidosai v'avedas aviv. You lost something and your father lost something, so whose avedas should you go after? So obviously, if you could go after both, you should go after both. Here, you only could go after one. Furthermore, say the Paiskim, that let's say it's a situation where you lost something and somebody else lost something, and that person says, I'm so anxious not to get my item, I'll pay you, and don't go after your aveda. Doesn't make a difference. If you want to go after your aveda, you have every right. Avedos kedemos. I saw the Paiskim discuss the following shaila. What is the din if it's not your aveda? It's aveda's ishtoi. Your wife lost an aveda, and your father or your rebbe, we're going to learn, they have both avedas. Which should you follow? So certainly the Paiskim say, if the relationship between the husband and the wife is in a relationship of kamash kansi isha kansi bala, so it's like your own aveda, and obviously avedos kedemos. But let's say, as we learned to besach the ksubis, their relationship is that you have your money and I have my money. So now it's avedas ishtoi and avedas aviv. Whose aveda does he go for first? So I saw the Paiskim answer very interesting. They say the following is the approach. If it's an aveda of your wife that you won't have to replace if she ends up losing, then avedas aviv and avedas rabbi come first. But let's say it's your wife's aveda, and indeed, you have a relationship with your wife that you have separate bank accounts. But let's say she lost a piece of jewelry. And if she doesn't find it, you're going to have to replace it, then it's considered like your own aveda, and that goes first. Aveda say, v'avedas rabbi, again, shalai kaidim. Your aveda goes first. However, says the Mishnah, avedas aviv avedas rabbi. The halacha is, shal rabbi kedemis. The aveda of your rebbe goes first. Sh'aviv hevi'u lo'olam hazeh, the rabbi Shlim de Chachma, the rabbi you learn Torah from, Nevi'oi L'chaya Olam Haba. So the Lecha Mishnah says, when does this then apply? Only if you're able to get only one Aveda. So if you're only able to get one Aveda, the Aveda of your rabbi goes first. But let's say if you're able to get both, then maybe you should get the Aveda's other first. Furthermore, says the Ben Yehoyada in explaining the Mishnah, Avedas Aviv Avedas Rabbi means that you saw the Aveda of your father first. Still, even though you saw your father's Aveda first, or he lost his Aveda first, still Aveda Rabbi Kedemis. Vim Aviv Chacham, but if your father's a Chacham, Shal Aviv Kedemis. Says the Ramah, he quotes the Sefer Chassidim, when is there a din that Avedas Rabbi Kedemis? That's if your father didn't pay tuition for you to learn by your Rebbe. But let's say your father paid the tuition, even though it's your Rebbe's Aveda, then your father gets the credit because he paid for you to learn Torah. And the Shach says even more than that. He says, let's say somebody sponsored your tuition in yeshiva. And now you have the Aveda of your Rebbe and the Aveda of your sponsor. Not your father. Your father didn't pay tuition. A sponsor paid for your learning. The Aveda of the sponsor goes first. Again, your father and the Rebbe are both carrying a load. Menicha shal rabbi, first you have to help your rebbe, v'akach menicha shal aviv. Hayu aviv v'rabbi beis hashevi, they're both in jail, poidus rabbi v'akach poidus aviv, v'mav chacham poidus aviv v'akach poidus rabbi. So Mefarshim make 2 points. Number one is, why do we have to have the same din said 3 different times? One is to teach us halacha regarding a load, which is tsar haguf. The other thing, the next case refers to covet. Carrying a load is not the covet. And the third thing refers to tsar haguf, where the person is where the person is in jail. To teach us the same din implies all cases. But Ritvaz, based on the Rishonim, says the following. The Mishnah keeps on speaking about the father. What's the din if the father is a chacham? Says the Ritvaz, let's say you have a father who's a Talmud Chacham, but he's not as great as a Talmud Chacham as your Rebbe. What is the din? So he says as follows. When it comes to an Aveda, so there we look at who's the greater Talmud Chacham. And therefore, if your Rebbe is a greater Talmud Chacham than your father, you go after your Rebbe's Aveda first. But when it comes to the Masri, or it comes to the Beis HaShevi, there says the Ritvaz, as long as your father's a Talmud Chacham, even though he's not as great as a Talmud Chacham as your Rebbe, your father comes first. Ask the Gemara, Menani Mili, that your Aveda goes first. Om Rav Yudah Merav, Om Akra, Ethes, Kelo Yichah Ba'evyan. Shalcha Koibim L'shal Kol Adam. Your Aveda comes before everybody else. However, Om Rav Yudah Merav, Kol HaMakayim Ba'atz Maisayif Ba'aladei Kach. If somebody acts this way, he says, I'm always worried about my money before everybody else's money, then he at the end will end up with no money. So the Paiskim say, even though our Gemara is clearly teaching us it's an inappropriate way to behave, only think about your own money, certainly they say in a situation, that's only when it's your father or your Rebbe, but if it's your money versus a stranger's money, certainly your money comes first. The Rishonim say, there's a concept that we always hear about called Dikduke Anias. What does Dikduke Anias mean? It means as far as if you're medagdik, you're always worried about your money, Anias, you'll end up being poor. There's a fascinating vert from the Ben Yoyada on this Gemara. Fascinating vert. He says the following story. He says there was once a child walking in the street, and he meets his grandfather, who was homeless, laying on the sidewalk. And his grandfather says to him, you know, it's so cold, and I don't have a coat. Maybe you could go home and get me a coat. He comes home, and he tells his father, you know, our grandfather's laying on the floor in the street, cold, and he asks for a coat. Can you get him a coat? Can you just give him a coat? So the father says, you know, up in the attic there's a coat. Go up in the attic and get that coat and bring it to your grandfather. The child goes up to the attic, and then the father... Charles there a very long time. He doesn't know what takes so long to bring down a coat from the attic. So the father goes up to the attic to look what's going on. And he sees the child has that coat, and he has a scissor, and he's cutting the coat in half. The father asks him, why are you doing this? So he says, I figure the following, the child says. You'll also get old one day. And what will I do with you when you get old? I'll do to you what you did to your father. I'll throw you into the street when you're old and not productive. And you'll need a coat. So I'm already cutting the coat in half that I should have half the coat for you. He says, that's what our Gemara says. Kol ba'kayim ba'atzmei kach. If that's the way you act towards your parents, sofel de'kach, that's what's going to be the end with you. Says the Gemara. Ha'eva aviv rabbi naisim masli. If your father and your Rebbe were both carrying a load. Tana Rabbanan, Rabbi Shlomo is Rabbi Shlom de Chochma. It's your Rebbe that taught you Gemara, the loy Rabbi Shlom de Mikra Mishnah, not the Rebbe that taught you Chumash or Mishnayis. Divrei Rameya. Yudama, Kol Sharoif Chachmas Rimenu. The Rebbe that you learned most of your Chochma from. So the Paiskim say, according to this opinion, which is the Halacha, Roif Chachmas Rimenu community have many Rebbeim. The Rebbe that you learned most Chumash from is Rav Chachmasa of Chumash. The Rebbe you learned most Mishnayos from is your Rebbe of Rav Chachmasa of Mishnah. And the Rebbe you learned Gemara from is your Rav Chachmachm. You could have many Rebbeim. Rabbi Yitzhaker, I feel like here in of Elba Mishnah Achas, even if your Rebbe only taught you one Mishnah, Zehu Rabbi. He's already considered your Rabbi. Amar Rabbi, Amar Ravis, Ravis says, Kigayim Rav Schoira. The Asman Zuma Listerin. It's like Rav Schoira that taught me what the Zuma Listerin means. What is the Zuma Listerin? So Rishonim say two pshatim. One pshat is the Zuma Listerin was a spoon, a large spoon that was used, that when you cook something, a foam forms on the top of the pot. And they use this spoon to skim off the foam. Another pshat is that it had two sides, this utensil. One side was like a spoon, and one was like a fork. So it could be used dual purpose. Shmuel Karmani, Shmuel Ripped Kriya, Aleya Hum Rabbanon, for this Talmud Chacham, the Asbury, who taught him the following halacha. Echad Yair La'amez HaShechi, Vechad Poiseach Kivan. Which means as follows. The Mishnah discusses in Masech Kalim that the first Kayan that would enter the Beis HaMikdash every day would be the Kayan that did Dishim Mizbeach HaPnimi, that would take off the ash for the Mizbeach. And the Beis HaMikdash was locked. And the Mishnah there describes how it was open. The Machlokes was showing him if there was one door that had two locks, with one lock a little harder to open because you had to get the key inside, pull the key, do it from inside, and the other key right in the keyhole, or if there were two doors. Machlokes, Rashi and the Miri, and the Talmud that the Rebbe that taught him that, he ripped Kriya from. So if Farshim asks, the halacha is that you're supposed to rip Kriya for every Talmud Chacham. What was so special here? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that for regular Talmud Chacham, the Gemara says, Masech Tamayit Katan, you rip Kriya, but then you could sew it up. He ripped Kriya and didn't sew it up. Another pshat is that this Talmud Chacham was really not as great as Shmuel. And even though he wasn't as great as Shmuel, still Shmuel, out of deference for Talmud Chacham, ripped Kriya from him. Interesting to note, even though we're learning a Shaila, who is considered the Rebbe, we'll discuss it more in a moment, for the Din of Aveda, that's regarding that specific Shaila. But certainly when it comes to the Shaila of giving respect to a Talmud Chacham, any Talmud Chacham, everybody agrees, all the Paiskim agree, that any Talmud Chacham who taught you anything in Torah, you have to give Derech Eretz to. Amar Ula, Talmid Chacham Shev Bavel, Oindim Zeh B'Pnei Zeh, they would get up for each other. So Mefarshim point out what's so special about Talmid Chachamim in Bavel. Mefarshim explain three pshatim. One pshat is, in Eretz Yisrael, as we discussed, we'll discuss more in Masechta Sanhedrin, smicha was in practice. So you knew who a Talmud Chacham was and who wasn't. Somebody who had smicha. In Bavel, smicha was in practice. So the minig was that they got off for everybody. Another pshat is that the Gemara says that Talmid Chachamim and Bavel were sort of sharp with each other. Since they were sharp with each other, you would think, so that's why they were especially careful to show each other, even though we sometimes get into an argument, we still show each other respect. A third pshat is similar to the second pshat. How did the Talmid Chacham and Bavel learn? They would learn b'chavrusa and get heated arguments. So each Talmud Chacham, and that's how they grew in learning. So each Talmud Chacham helped the other Talmud Chacham grow in learning through that pilpul chaverim. And that's why they showed their heritage to each other by standing up for each other. The Karen Zalzeh, and they would rip Kriya. Again, Taisus says that the Kriya they ripped was a Kriya that they didn't sew up, or even though they were not as great Talmid Chachamim, they still ripped Kriya. Or in Yaveda, B'makam Avaveinu Chayzim. They weren't such great Rabbeim that the din of Aveda's Rabbi Kodemus applies. El L'Rabbi Muvik. That then only applies L'Rabbi Muvik. Kabay M'nei Rav Chizda M'Rav Huna. So Rav Chizda asked Rav Huna the following question. Talmud V'tzarech Lei Rabbi. Let's say you're a Talmud, but your Rebbe needs you. You have what to teach your Rebbe still. Mai. What is the din? Amalei. So Rav Huna assumed that Rav Chizda meant their relationship. That Rav Chizda was Rav Huna's Talmud, and he was asking, maybe you, Rav Huna, have to get up for me, because you need me. So Rav Huna got offended, and he said, Chizda, lo tzrich nalach. I don't need you, at tzrich asli. You need me. At Abishnin. So the machlok is how to learn this line of Abishnin. One pshat is that it goes to the previous side. You need me for Abishnin. For a Talmud to really learn from his Rebbe, he has to learn from him for 40 years. The other pshat is, at Abishnin ikber hadadi. Because of this story, they were in a fight for 40 years. And they didn't see each other for 40 years because they offended each other. Yosef Chizda burned to Naisa. But they were upset what they did. And Rav Chizda sat 40 Tanaisim, Mishim Dechal Shdata de Rav Huna, because he made Rav Huna upset, and Yosef Rav Huna Abram Tanaisa, Mishim Dechaj de Rav Chizda, because he falsely accused Rav Chizda. Itma. Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. The Halacha is like Rav Yehuda, that kol sharev chachmos imena. Rav Acha Rav Huna Amar Rav Sheshes Halach Rav Yosi, that the halach is like Rav Yosi. I feel like hey enov the Mishnah Achas. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. Did Rav Yochanan Paskin like Rav Yosi? We have a rule throughout Shas that halach is Stam Mishnah. That we always follow Stam Mishnah because, like we always explain, if Rebbe taught it anonymously, why did Rebbe teach it anonymously? Because he wanted to show us that this is the accepted halacha. And in our Mishnah, we just learned, V'tanan, Rabbi Shalom b'chachmai, my chachma, Rav chachmasai. So it must be that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Tanar Abonim, Ha'iskim Mikra, those that learned Chumash, Mida v'ena Mida. It's a nice thing, but it's not great. The Mishnah, Mida, it's a little more. The Noten L'Schar, you get more schar for it. Gemara, if somebody learns Gemara, which means that you try to understand what it says in the Mishnah, that's the highest madrega. Continues the Gemara. Have a rots Mishnah, Yosim and Gemara. Learn Mishnah more than Gemara. So Mepharshim say, what's the Lashon rots Mishnah? So I say, I saw two pshatim. One pshat is rots means that learn it quickly. Learn it quick. Mishnayis, you can learn quickly. Gemara takes more concentration. Another pshat is like this. The Paiskim say that it's appropriate for people to learn some Mishnayis Balpeh. Why? Because if you learn Mishnayis Balpeh, then when you're walking in the street and you don't have any safe with you, you can always review in your mind the Mishnayis that you learned. A lot of them have a rots l'mishnah. Learn Mishnah so that when you're in a run and you don't have a sefer, you can at least review in your mind the Mishnayis. Ask the Gemara. Hagu fakasha. Let's understand this Gemara. Amrit, the Gemara, first the Gemara says, Ein l'chamid g'dol mezu. That Gemara is the most important learning. V'hada Amrit, and then the Gemara says, a lot of them have a rots l'mishnah yosim Gemara. So how do we reconcile this? Amr Reb Yochanan, says Reb Yochanan, B'rei Rebbe, Mishnah Zu. This was taught in the time of Rebbe. And it's interesting, Rashi goes into here the entire history of how the Gemara and Mishnayos were written. He says, at the beginning we first had all of Torah Shel Bapeh, was taught orally, as the word Torah Shel Bapeh implies. And then he says, because of all the tzoros that Klal Yisrael suffered, Rebbe saw that there became a lot of machloikis. People forgot what the din was, and that's when we have Beisham and Beisil, beginning with the machloikis, and all the various machloikis. And then Rebbe went and compiled all of this into the Mishnah, and the Gemara is the explanation of the Mishnayis. So once they had the Gemara, Shava Kul Alma Masnisen, everybody stopped learning the Mishnayis, for also Basa Gemara. And they went to learn Gemara. So Rebbe was concerned that they'll forget the Mishnayis. And the Mishnayis teaches the basic halacha. That's why he said, Darish Lehu have a Rots L'Mishnah Yosim Gemara. Learn the Mishnayis because otherwise you won't know the basic halacha what to do. And in fact, based on this Gemara, I saw that the Shulchan Aruch Rav Paskins, LaHalacha, LaMaisa, he says as follows, even though our Gemara is teaching us how important it is to learn Mishnayis and how important it is to learn Gemara, he says, that is talking to a person who has the ability to learn a number of hours a day. But if a person is very limited in the amount of time that he could give to his learning, the first thing he has to learn is halacha l'maisa. Because just like Rebbe was so anxious that they should learn Mishnayis, because Mishnayis was at that time the halacha, they didn't have the Shulchan Aruch that. The Shulchan Aruch was only written by the Beis Yosef, a Rishon. So they learned halacha from the Mishnah. So too, we now who have halacha svarim have to first learn halacha to know what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do, and then we could delve into the Gemara. My darsh, ask the Gemara what he learned. Kedarsh of Yehuda bar Eloi. My diksev, Hagid la'ami pisham ulebeis Yaakov chatosam. Hagid la'ami pisham, who is the Ami, who is the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Eil tamid ha'chomim, shishogis naslam zedoinis. That the Talmid HaChacham, if they do an Aveir B'Shagig, it's reckoned like a mezid. With the Yaakov, we always know, is the lower Madrega, Chatosam Eila Ma'aretz, Shishtoinis Naslam Zekagis. That when they do an Aveir, it's considered like a Shagig. which is a very hard Gemara to understand. All the Mefarshim have a very difficult time understanding this Gemara. It turns out, they ask, that it's worthwhile to be Amaretz. Because Amaretz, his mezid is like a shaygig. And a Talmud Chacham, his shaygig is like a mezid. So why be a Talmud Chacham? So Masha says the following pshat. He says, it's not the way to understand the Gemara simple. What it means is as follows. It's speaking towards the attitude of people. Talmid HaChachamim are Yirei Shemayim and are very concerned to do the right thing. So even when they do an Aveira B'Shoigig, they take it very seriously. And they treat it like a mezid. And Amoritz, on the contrary, doesn't have that serious attitude. And when he does an Aveira B'Mezid, he treats it like a shaygig. That's the Mashas Pshat. Pnei Yeshua is not satisfied with the Mashas Pshat. He says that Pshat in the Gemara, because he said, according to the Masha, that's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is simple. Tam Chacham Zodin is Shagig Zodin, Amaretz is Zodin is Shagig. You can't change what the Gemara says. So he says an unbelievable Pshat. He says as follows. Absolutely. You have to understand the Gemara literally. Tam Chacham, his Shagig is a Zodin, and Amaretz is Mezid is a Shagig. But there's still one very big difference between a Talmud Chacham and Amaretz. A Talmud Chacham spends time learning Torah. And Amaretz doesn't spend time learning Torah. Says the Bnei Yeshua, the first question a person is asked after he leaves the world is, Kavata Itam L'Torah. Did you learn? There's nothing more important than learning Torah. So yes, the Talmud Chacham has this liability that his Shagig becomes amazed. But he has this Kavaldiga Mitzvah that he learns Torah. Isn't that wonderful? That outweighs every other problem. And the Amoritz, yes, he has maybe this benefit that even if he does an Aver B'mezid, it's considered like a Shagig. But he has the Aver that he didn't learn Torah. And that Aver, nothing can help. That's why Talmud Chacham is better off. Continues the Gemara. Vanat Nan, have Rabbi Yehuda, have a Zohar with Talmud. You have to be careful to learn. Sheshigig is Talmud Oil Zodin. So Pash Pshat in the Gemara is that a person is supposed to be careful to learn Torah and to know what he's supposed to do or not, because otherwise, if he does any Aveira and he's a Talmud Chacham, it'll be like a Mezid. I saw another Pshat. That's Pshat that we say in Chanukah, in Dalanisim, V'zeidim b'yad oiske tarasecha. So Mefarshim asks, what does it say b'yad oiske tarasecha? It should have said v'zeidim b'yad loimdei tarasecha. So Mefarshim say, beautiful Pshat. V'zeidim, how can we avoid being considered a Mezid? B'yad oiske tarasecha. By learning Torah, by being Isaac in Torah, and understanding what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do, that's how we could avoid being Zaydim doing Averis B'mezid. Because all Averis of Talmud Chachamim, the Gemara says, are amazing. Another Pshat that I saw from the Divrei Shaul, he says, where the Gemara says, Sheshigigas Talmud, Oyla Zodin is as follows. Let's say you have a Talmud Chacham. He says, a Talmud Chacham doesn't Averis. And he indeed did the Aveir B'Shagig. It happens. And Amoritz passes by, and he sees this Talmud Chacham doing the Aveir. He doesn't know that the Talmud Chacham made a mistake. He thinks if the Talmud Chacham is acting this way, this must be the way he's supposed to act. And then he copies what he says, if that's what the Talmud Chacham does, I could do it. Sheshig is Talmud, because this Talmud Chacham did Avera B'Shagig, Oyla Zodin, it causes an Amoritz to do an Avera B'Mezid. That's what he says as Pshat in the Pasuk, we say it every day. Shom Rav, lo have a Sarasayich, v'ein lomoy michshol. Shom Rav, lo have a Sarasecha. We daven Tekarish Baruch Hu, that lo have a Sarasecha, the Talmid HaChachamim, should be careful and never do any Averis. Because if they do an Avera, Vein Lama Michshol, they could cause the Amaratzim to come to a Michshol of doing an Avera. Says the Gemara, Darash of Yehuda Bar Eloi, Maidik Siv, Shimu Dvar Hashem, HaChereidim Al Dvaroi, Ela Tamid Chachamim, Imru Achechem, Ela Bala Mikra. Even though they only learned Mikra, they're still our brothers, they have some sort of connection to us. Soinechem, Eile Bala Mishnah. These are the Bala Mishnah, because as Rashi explains, the Bala Gemara and the Bala Mishnah are in a conflict.
The Bala Mishnah says we should learn up the Mishnayis. And you don't have to learn the Gemara. And the Bala Gemara says you have to learn Gemara. Munadechem, from the Lashon of Anida, Elu Amei Oretz. Shematamar, Pasak, Sivram, Ubatul Sikuyim. Damaratzim have no hope. Tamalayim of Anira Besimchaschem. They will have Simcha. Shematam Yisrael Yavoshu. Tamalayim Vahem Yavoshu. Oiv the Kechavim Yavoshu. The guy will have Bezionis, Yisrael Yismachu. Mepharshim say that's why they're called Menadechem, Loshen of Anida. What does Anida mean? We know that Anida is presently Tamei. But Anida, after she stops seeing the dam and goes to the mikveh, becomes Tar. Even those who are Meratzim and Bali Aveira in this world are only like Anida. But when Mashiach comes, all of Klal Yisrael, Oiv the Kechavim Yavoshu, Yisrael Yismachu. Hadron Lach Eilam Metzias, Hadron Lach Eilam Metzias, Hadron Lach Eilam Metzias. Says the Mishnah. Our Mishnah, our Perek, now begins to discuss the halachas of Shomrim. We know there are four types of Shomrim. To quickly review, Shemechinam, Shemesachar, Soicher, and Shoyal. Shemechinam is a person who does a favor and watches your item. He's Potter for Geneva, Vaveda, certainly for Einzim. He's only Chayiv if he's Poshea. Shemesachar is Chayiv for Pshia, certainly, and for Gneva Vaveda, he's Potter for Einzim. A Shoyal is Chayiv for Gneva Vaveda, Pshia, and Einzim. The only thing that a Shoyal Mechinam, that a Shoyal is Potter, is if Nesa Machmas Malacha. If I borrowed something from you, and while I'm working with it, it dies, it collapses, I'm Potter. A Seicher, as we've discussed many times, is Machloikas Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, if his din is like a Shem Sachar or like a Shem Echinim. Says the Mishnah, Hamafkadeit Chaveroi Behemo Kalim, if let's say I left by somebody a Behemo Kalim, for Nignavu Ashavdu, and they were stolen or lost, Shilim. So the Loch is that the Shemer has to swear that, let's say it's a Shem Echinim, he has to swear there was a Gneva Aved, then he'll be absolved. Let's say he says, I don't want to swear. Shilein apay v'lei rotz l'sheva. Shoyam, because the loch is, shemechinim nishba, all he has to do is swear, the yaitza, and he is absolved. And now, nimtza ganef, the ganef is ultimately found, mishalim tishlame kefil. He has to, who gets the kefil? The shomer. Tavach u'mocher, if the ganef did tficho mechira, and as we learned in Masech Bavakama, if the ganef did tficho mechira, shor v'seh, he has to pay dal v'hei, Misham tashlumim abo v'chamisha, l'mi mishalem, l'mi shabekodin etzloi. It goes to the shomer, not to the owner. Tosfos discusses, what does it have to say sha'ovdu? There's no kefil by aveda, there's no dal v'heva aveda. So Tosfos explains, what the Mishnah is referring to such a case. The shomer thought that the item was lost. So he would only have to make a shvu that it was lost, and then he would be free. And then it turns out they were stolen. So that ganef has to pay kefil, or dal v'hei teaches us the Mishnah that that kefil, dal v'hei, goes to the shomer, not to the owner. Says the Mishnah further, nishbe v'loi rotz l'shalom, shomer chinam said, I'm going to swear and I don't want to pay. Nimtza ganef, and now the ganef is caught. V'sham tashlumi kefil, tavachamach v'sham tashlumi abar v'chamisha, v'mi m'shalom, v'bal b'kodin to the owner. So Pnei Yeshua asked the obvious question. The first din of the Mishnah represents a chiddush. With a shay mechinam, and we'll discuss this a lot in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, with a shay mechinam, instead of making Yeshua paid, so he's entitled to the kefil, he's entitled to the dal v'hei. But the second din, with a shay mechinam, lost the item was stolen. He exercised his right, which is fine, and he swore. And now the ganef was caught. So of course the kefil should be paid to the owner. Why do I need the Mishnah to tell me this then? Answers the Pnei Yeshua. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that I would think that when does the din of Kefil or the din of Dal V'Hei apply? Only in a situation where a Ganef stole something from the owner's home. But if a Ganef stole something from the Shomer's home, maybe the din of Kefil doesn't apply. Maybe the din of Dal V'Hei doesn't apply. Teaches us the Mishnah that even when it was stolen from the Shomer's home, the din of Kefil and Dal V'Hei apply. Here we have a very fundamental machlokes Rishonim. The case of our Mishnah is, where our Mishnah Mechinim, and something was stolen, and as we're going to discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, I might have been Pesheya. Maybe I was Pesheya. But since I could have said that it was a Gneva Aveda, and if I would have said Gneva Aveda, I would be absolved. So by me volunteering and saying that I was Pesheya and paying for the item, I now become entitled to the Kefil, I now become entitled to Dalvehe. But what would be the din? There were Aden that saw me being Pesheya. So I have no way out. It's not that I was a fine person and I volunteered. There were Aden that could say that I was Pesheya. What, and therefore I paid. What would be the din then? So some Rishonim say, then you're not such a great person. You paid because you had to pay. And you're going to have to pay the Dalad. You're not entitled to the Kefil of Dalvehe. Others say that even in that case, since I avoided going to Din Torah, and I just paid, instead of getting involved in all Din Torah, even though there were Edom that could have testified it was Pesheya, I still am, by paying, the moment I pay, now I become the owner, and if the Ganef is ultimately found, I'm entitled to the Kefil, and I'm entitled to Dalvehe. Ask the Gemara. Lama l'misna behema, v'lama l'misna kelim. What does Mishnah have to teach us? The same din, both by kelim and behema. Answers the Gemara Tzrichi. Ditan behema, have we only taught the din of behema? Have I mean behema the makna like kfeila? By behema, I'm entitled to kefil. Mishun the nafish tircha, taking care of an animal is a lot of work. Layula lafuka, bring the animal in and the animal out. So here, not only did I bother taking care of the animal, now I also paid for it, I'm entitled. Ava kelim, the loy nafish tircha. It's not such a big bother to take care of kelim. There the owner doesn't forfeit his right to the kefil. Vitana kalim, if we only would have learned the din of kalim, having been a kalim with the maknalik kefila, by kalim I get the kefil, mishum the loy nafish kaflayu. It's only kefil that's on the table. Ava behema, that we just learned in the Mishnah, the kitavach umachar, that if the ganef ended up doing tficha mechira to the animal, mishalim tashlume dal vehei, you have to pay dal vehei. Here the owner is not forfeiting, that he should forfeit such a large windfall. Dal v'hei, that's why tzricha, we had to have both cases. As we complete our shir, there's a beautiful word from the Pnei Menachem on the Mishnah we learned before about the Avedas Aviv Avedas Rabbi. He says as follows. He says, the entire Gemara teaches us the difference between a father and a Rebbe. He says, without a father you could never be born. He says, a father is like bringing somebody into the world that's bringing him on a busy highway. Very nice that he brought me on a busy highway, but he brought me into a very dangerous world. The Rebbe is the person who makes sure that I know how to drive on the highway. So he said, that's the difference. Zemavir chay olam hazeh. Father brings a Talmud to olam hazeh. Bring a son to Olam Hazeh, the world that has a lot of issues with it. The Rebbe brings a Chayim Olam Ba, he shows him the right path, how to live in the world. Then he goes on to say, the Gemara gave two examples of who was a Rebbe. One was the Rebbe who explained to him what a spoon was, how to get the foam off the pot. And then the other Rebbe is the Rebbe that showed him how to open the door. He says a Rebbe has a dual goal. A Rebbe has two jobs. One job of the Rebbe is to open the door. To open the door of Talmud. Open the door of learning to a student, to a Talmud, to help him know how to learn. But that's not the only job of a Rebbe. The Rebbe also has to be like a spoon, help him get rid of what's not right in this world, and to show him what's important, what's not important, how he's supposed to live as a Jew.